There's little doubt from reviewing God's word that God does desire sacrifices. After all, he has instituted them and required them in every dispensation of time. From the days of Adam, and we read in Hebrews 11 and verse 4 about Abel in those very days that he did the right thing because he offered the right sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. Abraham was called upon to make sacrifices still in the patriarchal age, in the Mosaic dispensation. We know that Moses in the law wrote that they were to offer sacrifices to the Lord. In Romans 12 and verse 2, Paul addresses the Christian when he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So from the patriarchal age to the Mosaical age to the Christian age, the Bible teaches that God is expecting sacrifices. So what does David mean then in the psalm that we just read and in some other passages that we're going to read that say that there are some things that God prefers above sacrifice? David said in verse 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Had God not required that under the law? He had required it, but not from a cold heart, not as a mechanical response to a written law. He said, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. What David is saying is that he had to learn something about sacrifice, that it wasn't the sacrifice that God really wanted. What God really wanted was the heart of the person that was offering the sacrifice. And without the heart of that person, without the love of God, that would prompt that sacrifice in loving obedience, that sacrifice was not accepted. And so this morning we're going to notice that integrity of the heart is a prerequisite for acceptable sacrifice, because sacrifice without sincerity is repulsive and insulting to God. We might think, well, that was David, that was the Old Testament. We're going to read some Old Testament passages. That's true. But we're also going to realize, or we're going to notice, and I hope we're going to realize, that we are making offerings to the Lord even in the Christian age. Our body is a living sacrifice. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow after me. For he that shall save his life shall lose it, but he that shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what shall it be profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus said there will be sacrifice. Jesus took up his cross when he went to Calvary, but Jesus said that we're to take up our cross and we're to do it on a daily basis. So there is a sacrifice to our life, but if our sacrifice is mere mechanical response to the will of God, the commandments, the instructions, and the principles that are given in the New Testament, it's empty. It's insulting to the Lord, because we're doing it because we think we have to, and not because we love him and because we want to. In Scripture, there are seven things that are mentioned that the Bible says is better than sacrifice. We want to notice them. The first thing that the Bible says is better than sacrifice is justice. In Proverbs 21 and verse 3, Solomon said, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. As much as God required sacrifices, justice and judgment are even more necessary to him. The theme of justice and judgment are prevalent in the prophetic writings. Look at Jeremiah 9 and verse 20 and 24. The prophet says there that God delighted in loving kindness, pardon me, in judgment, in judgment and righteousness. Isaiah, in like manner, and this is a long reading. If you want to read along with me, Isaiah 1, verse 11 through 17. Isaiah 1, verse 11 through 17, and it helps to reiterate what David said and maybe help explain it. He said, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of beasts. And you can imagine why. People, the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, were offering sacrifices on a continual basis, day in and day out, year in and year out, animals, innocent animals dying as a substitutionary sacrifice waiting for Christ to come, who would be sacrificed once for all. You can see why God would say that, but there's more involved. It wasn't just the number. He said, I'm full of the burnt offerings and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. There's a key. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it. I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. But Lord, how can you say that it's iniquity when you're the one that required it? Because of the attitude, because of the hearts of the people that are doing it. They were coming to the worship assembly and they weren't worshiping because they loved the Lord. They had a sour look on their face. They were frowning. They were depressed. They were waiting to get out. Couldn't wait to get out of the services. They were coming to put a check mark by their name. They weren't singing the songs because they were trying to teach one another. Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3 and verse 16. They weren't listening to the prayers because they cared about putting our petitions before the throne of God. They weren't doing those things because they wanted to from the heart. They were doing it because it was expected of them. God said to Israel, you're doing all these things because it's expected of you, but not because you love me and it makes me sick. God said, your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble to me. I am weary to bear them. Why? Because they weren't doing them for the right reason. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. And again, now we're about to get back to the cause. Why did he say? He explained. He said, your hands are full of blood. Murderers, thieves, hypocrites. God said, you come and worship me, and then you go out and live like the rest of the world. Here was the solution. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. That's our point, isn't it? Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, willing, the heart, obedience, the action. You can offer the sacrifice, but you got to make sure your heart is right. If you do that, the Lord said, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God was full of their empty sacrifices. God was full of their hypocrisy, coming to worship him and not worshiping him because he was God. What he was really hungry for was justice and judgment. He wanted them to treat the fatherless and the oppressed and the widows fairly. You know, it would really take a person with no sense of conscience to steal from a widow or a fatherless child or to let them suffer a hunger pain that could have been relieved. But there are people in our world that prey on the elderly, that think that they can steal their money more easily, that can deceive them out of their retirement, that can deceive them out of their bank accounts, that will just blatantly steal from them. In the news, we see where elderly women have gone into a store to buy groceries and someone will follow them home and wait until they unlock the door and then go in and rob them. It's becoming very common. It takes a person with no conscience to be able to do something like that. In the days under the days of Moses, the days of David, the days of Solomon. No, they weren't driving to the supermarket. Those kinds of things specifically weren't happening, but the principle was the same. They were stealing from the widows. They were holding back when they could have helped the widows. They were holding back when they could have helped the fatherless. Micah continues this in Micah 6 and verse 6. He said, wherewith, the God speaking, he said, wherewith shall I come before the Lord? I'm sorry, Micah speaking. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Clearly, Micah knew that the Lord wanted what he just said, justice, mercy, and humility, more than he wanted the sacrifices. The sacrifices were required, but if the heart wasn't right, it made God sick. And it made him angry. And as we read a moment ago, God said, I won't even answer your prayers for your hypocritical worship. You're not putting your heart into it. As you may recall, Jesus took the issue of justice with the Jews of his day, declaring in Matthew 23 and verse 23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Now notice very carefully, because some have read this verse and said, well, the Lord doesn't care what we do as long as we just feel good toward him. That's not what he said. Listen to him. He said, talking about the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith, the weightier matters of the law, these ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. So having judgment, mercy, and faith, those are the things that we need to do, but it doesn't mean that we leave the other things undone. We still worship according to God's direction because God desires and demands that we worship in spirit and in truth, John 4, verse 24. But if we're not worshiping from the heart, our worship is vain. Jesus said so. Today, God still places a high price on justice. He wants our judgment to be fair. John 7 and verse 24, it was Jesus who said, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Matthew 7 and verse 2 on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus explained that we will be judged by the judgment that we use. So one of the things that God approves more than sacrifice, or that he loves more than sacrifice, or that is better than sacrifice, is to do justice in our lives. Along those lines, the next is to love. Mark 12 and verse 23, Jesus said we should love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, and to love neighbor as himself. He said it is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Not that those shouldn't be left undone, but we've got to start with love. Loving God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, Matthew records him as saying, to love our neighbor as ourself. Loving God and loving one's neighbor is said to be better than offering burnt offerings and sacrifices. God wanted their sacrifices, but he wanted their love even more. It had to come first. Just think about Genesis 22 when God commanded Abraham to offer Isaac on Mount Moriah. In Genesis 22 and verse 12, after Abraham had stretched forth a knife, stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Verse 10, verse 12, he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son. Verse 15, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. What was God looking for? Was God looking for the death of his son, or was God looking for Abraham's heart? God was looking for Abraham's heart. He wanted Abraham to trust him completely, and to love him enough to do what he told him to do. And when Abraham took that knife and he lifted up his hand, Isaac didn't understand what's going to happen. But Abraham knew that God could save his life, or that God could renew his life. Abraham simply said, I'm going to trust God. I love him. God says that we must love him. God stopped him when he drew back drew back his hand. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul stressed the importance of love in his first letter to the church at Corinth. Listen to him. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, the King James says that word means love. So I'm going to use the word love. And have not love, I am become a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can move mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Paul said, I can do everything exactly right, but if I don't love God and I don't love my neighbor, it's worthless because the motivation is wrong. We see it all the way through Scripture that God prefers love to sacrifice, not that those things should be left undone, but that we need to sacrifice, or that we need to worship because of our love, not just because we're told to. God still puts a high priority on love. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 5, Paul said that love was the end of the commandment, or the end of the commandment is love. When a man loves God as he loves his neighbor, Paul said in Romans 13 and verse 8, he has fulfilled the law. Number 3, mercy. Through Hosea, God declared, I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. So it's a priority thing, isn't it? It's not that God did not require sacrifices, but God had a different priority. God wanted justice, and he wanted love, and he wanted mercy. The sacrifices came later. But he wanted those things first of all. It was easy for Hosea's people to offer sacrifices and then just go about their lives treating people the way they had always treated them. There was no change. There was no repentance. God said, that's not satisfactory. I'm going to have more than that. He wanted them to show mercy. In Isaiah 1, as we read before, he wanted them to relieve the oppressed and judge the fatherless and plead for the widow. Again, God was full of their sacrifices, but he was hungry for their mercy. Not only did God want his people to show mercy, he wanted them to love mercy. Through Micah, he said, he has showed thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord doth require, but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God, as we read a moment ago. God still wants his people to be merciful. James 2 and verse 13, James warns here by inspiration that judgment will be without mercy to those who show no mercy. Now think about that. When you meet the Lord in the judgment, do you want him to be merciful to you? James says that if we refuse to show mercy in this life, we will not receive mercy in the judgment. Isn't that what Jesus was saying when he said that by whatever judgment we judge, we shall be judged? So if we're judging a cynical, hypocritical type of judgment, and it's a cynical, it's a hateful type of judgment, we cannot expect to receive mercy in the judgment when we get there. God desires mercy. Very quickly, number 4, God desires that we have knowledge. Hosea 4, verse 1 begins this way, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Ignorance was destroying God's people. Hosea said in chapter 4 and verse 6, God speaking, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Thou shalt not be a priest unto me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy Lord. I will also forget thy children. God said, you need to have knowledge. Knowledge is more important than sacrifice. Why? Because it comes first. And even now, God desires knowledge among his people. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, what are we to desire? The sincere milk of the word that we may what? That we may grow thereby. So God has always sought that we increase in knowledge. And then in thanksgiving, David declared in Psalm 69, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hoofs. David said, I love the Lord and my love for him. The sacrifices will come, but my love will be what's pleasing to him and my thanksgiving that I give to him. When we were singing our songs this morning, were we not just thinking about the words, but the song about love and the other songs that express ideas or concepts of thanksgiving? Does it really touch our heart and make us think about why we're here today? That we're not just here so that we can fulfill the regulation and then leave and go our way and be the same as we were yesterday. We need to approach the Lord with thanksgiving. Hebrews 13 and verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his names, to his name. Among the many things that we can offer to God, thanksgiving is one of the most important. Number 6, moving quickly, humility. In the 51st Psalm, David said, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Lambs and bullocks were easy for David to offer because he possessed large flocks and herds. However, God, even though he required that sacrifice, God was not at this point looking for that bloody sacrifice. He wanted a broken spirit. He wanted David to walk humbly before him. David, once he was made king, David, the Bible says, is a man after God's own heart. And he was, but when he was king, he sinned a grievous sin. And then he began to try to justify himself until the prophet was sent to him and revealed to him what he had done. And there is no example of any more humble, contrite person, I believe, unless it would be Saul of Tarsus. And I don't believe he would eclipse David in his sincerity and in his humility. David bowed himself down before God and he cried on one occasion, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Well, how would that happen? David said, I will bow myself before you. I will humble myself before you. Today, God still prizes humility in his people. James 4, verse 5. Do you think the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, James writes, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. There's humility. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to be heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Does that mean that we ought to go around with a negative attitude towards life, and that we always need to have a frown on our face, and that we always need to be depressed, and that we always need to be crying about this and that and everything else? But no, when Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted, he was talking about those who mourn for their sins, people who realize, I have sinned. I have done wrong, and I need to make it right. Humble yourselves, therefore. No, when he's talking about your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness, realize the path that you're on and that it's the wrong path, and turn and change it. Humble yourselves before the Lord. Why? That's more acceptable than sacrifice. It's better, or perhaps you should say, it's better than sacrifice, as the text said. Number 3, and finally, obedience. You remember that God commanded Saul to utterly destroy the Amalekites? However, Saul spared Agag, the king of the Amalekites, and the best of the flocks and herds. And so when he was confronted about it, Saul began to make excuses. He said, oh, I was going to offer all of this as sacrifices to God. 1 Samuel 15:24, Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Yes, obedience is important. Clearly, human obedience was more important to God than animal sacrifice. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 7:21, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this thing said, commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I command you, and it shall be well with you." Is the Lord saying he never told them to offer sacrifices? No. He's given an order of events, a prioritization. First thing God told them after delivering them, the first thing he did was say, obey my words, and it will be well with you. It was later that the system of animal sacrifice was instituted from Mount Sinai, but God put obedience first because it was better than sacrifice. It's worthy of careful observation then at this point that God required obedience of his people before he required animal sacrifice. And what did they do? They reversed it. They said, we'll offer the sacrifice and then we'll obey you or not, depending on the mood of the moment. God places a high value upon obedience. In fact, it is the man who hears and does what God says who will be blessed. James tells us that in James 1 and verse 25. He said, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed. This man shall be blessed. So let's pull it all together. Does God desire sacrifice? He did of Adam, he did of Cain, he did of Abel, he did of Abraham, he did of Moses, he did of David, he does of us, Romans 12, 1 and 2. So does God require sacrifice? Absolutely. And we've already read both of these passages, Romans 12, 1 through 2, Matthew 16, 24, read all the way through verse 26. So does God require sacrifice? Yes, our bodies as a living sacrifice. There are things that we do, our giving is a sacrifice toward God. But sacrifice offered by obligation is insulting to God. That's what God was saying to his people. What we want to do is to make sure that we don't fail to do the best things first so that God will be pleased with all that we offer. What do we mean by that? These seven things that the scripture says are better than sacrifice, those are priorities. Priority number one. All of them come from the heart. If we assemble on Sunday mornings just because we feel that we have to, if we assemble on Sunday morning because we're afraid we're going to get a phone call or a visit from someone and ask us, well, where were you? Well, that's actually a good thing. We might have been sick and we might need some help. So that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But if we're only here because we think we have to, it makes God sick. He is not pleased. God wants our heart first. He wants us to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. It's when we love him and when we show justice and judgment and mercy and all of these things that we've mentioned this morning, it's when we love him first and love others that those things will be acceptable. So let's make sure that we do the best things first. You may be here this morning and have never been obedient to the gospel of Christ. If you read your Bible and you believe that it is God's word and you believe what it says about Jesus Christ and the love that God had and that he sent him to die for our sins, John 3:16. If you believe that it says that we ought to be a different kind of people if we would follow Jesus and become Christians, that is, we repent of our sins and that we are commanded to do so. If we're going to be acceptable to God and we're going to practice obedience, one of those things that's better than sacrifice, then we're going to have to repent because it's a command, Acts 17 and verse 30. If we have not been baptized into Christ, but we're willing to do that, We humble ourselves before the Lord and we obey the command of the Lord. Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16. Because as Peter said, 1 Peter 3:21, the light figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not baptism alone, not repentance alone, not faith alone, not grace alone, all of those things together. But it's got to come from the heart. No one needs to twist your arm. No one can twist your arm or intimidate you into obeying the gospel. It's got to be your choice, your decision. It's got to come from your heart. But friend, if you haven't done that and you see the love of Christ as he's hanging there with blood running down his body, dripping from his brow with that crown of thorns, if you can see the love that God has for you, if you understand what hell will be like and that Jesus died to keep you out of there, how could you not want from your own heart to let the Lord save your soul so that heaven could be your home? Not for anyone else, but for you. It's your choice. You see, coming here is wonderful. We love to see everyone that's here. But we all need to stop every once in a while and ask ourselves the question, why am I here? Because I have to be or because I want to be? It's got to be because we love the Lord. All of the things that we do, they're important. But our attitude toward God and our fellow man has got to be right first. If you've never obeyed the gospel and you understand the need, it would seem like your heart is right. But it's your heart, it's your choice, your decision. We want to help you with that decision. We want to encourage you to make that decision, even this very morning. If you have been overwhelmed by the world and have fallen back into the ways of the world or whatever, think about why we're here this morning, not just to go through the ritual, not just to go through the motions, not just to do what the Bible has told us to do. Oh, yeah, we're here for that reason. We're guided by that. But we need to be here because we love the Lord and his people. If you haven't done that and you need the prayers of your brethren, if we could help you in either way, we encourage you to come as we stand and as we sing.
God is calling the prodigal, come without delay.